Denny, I never cease to marvel at God's the way God puts things together, because we'll talk a little bit about that today. So Xiao Jun, a university student in the United States, wrote the following. As a non-Christian, I didn't really want to think about Christianity. Through my tutorial classes in university, I got to know Adam and Rachel and their friends from Campus Crusade, now known as CRU. And by the way, CRU, Campus Crusade, is the same organization that Carol Good, who we've heard and helped support. We get her newsletter. She's the niece of Joan Prassy. She's over in China witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ to people right now through Campus Crusade. So that's where this is coming from. So again, So Xiao Jun is friends with Adam and Rachel, who and their friends at Campus Crusade, okay. Although Christians, that is Adam and Rachel, they never forced the gospel on me. Instead, they invited me into their community and treated me as a close friend, helped me, and invited me for birthday surprises, even though I wasn't part of their community, actually, or part of CRU. These friendships meant a lot to me. One day, they invited me to CRU's outreach band concert at school. Though I knew it would have something to do with Christianity, I felt that because it was in school, it should be quite safe. The concert and a testimony from the lead singer spoke to my heart, and I indicated that I wanted to know more about Christianity on a response card I had been given. Even with all the other CRU students there, my card was divinely given to my friend Rachel for follow-up. So Rachel started an evangelistic Bible study with me. And if it hadn't been for the friendship Rachel had started with me before, I may not have agreed to participate. My friend Rachel was a godsend. She used Bible stories to explain things to me, and I loved listening to the stories. Through them, I was able to know more about God. And at the same time, my friend Adam invited me to church, and at first, I felt very awkward. But despite that, I learned more about God through the sermons and became more comfortable as time passed. One day, at church, the pastor gave an invitation to accept Jesus' gift of salvation, and I just felt like giving God a chance. I told God, maybe I can try with you. And I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Ever since I received Christ, I have found a purpose in life. It's no longer meaningless. Before I was a Christian, I never thought about my purpose and just lived my life as it was. Now I feel that everyone should know about Christ because they will never regret the decision. Adam and Rachel wanted to fulfill their purpose before Almighty God, and they did so just by finding a new friend. They sought her, and they found her, a new friend. And as Paul Harvey says, the rest of Xiao Jun's story is this. Since that day, God has placed in Xiao Jun's heart a desire to be on the foreign mission field witnessing the gospel. And she is presently training with CRU, or Campus Crusade, to do so. All because Adam and Rachel chose to follow God, they went, and they found a new friend. Let's pray. Holy God, as we delve into your word today, I pray that as your word says, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even between bone and marrow. It's that sharp. Holy God, it says it will pierce between soul and spirit, body and spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will move amongst us today, that you will take your word and pierce my heart, pierce this body's heart, that we will hear exactly what you want us to hear and desire for us to start doing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. While you're turning, have you ever come across a switch, like a light switch or a button, maybe at your house or someplace else, and you turn it on and off, you push the button, whatever, and it doesn't seem to do anything. And you're like, what is this even here for? You wonder, what is its purpose? What's its purpose, right? And then one day, you flip it on, and I don't know, maybe someone's in a totally different part of the house or something, and they go, hey, what was that? And something turned on. And now it's like this new discovery. And you just feel good because you know now that there's a purpose for this switch or button or whatever. You ever had that happen? I know I have. And it's so great when you find out what its purpose is. Well, you know what? That's like Xiaojun. She was going through life with no purpose. No purpose whatever. And then she met Jesus. And this switch came on. And now she knows what her purpose for living is. Her purpose for being. Folks, do you know that's one of the most asked questions in the world? Why are we here? What do you think scientists are just spending their entire lives trying to figure out how we got here and answering that question, you know? Why are we here? What's our purpose? But you see, like Xiaojun, if we are true believers, if we're Christians, we have that answer. We have that answer, but sometimes we go ahead and turn the switch off anyway. We turn that switch, that purpose off anyway. But all we have to do to have that purpose in our life is to, with the power of the Holy Spirit, flip that switch on. And all of a sudden, the potential of our purpose is wide open. So with this in mind, we're continuing this sermon series entitled, The Purpose. And today's message is titled, The Purpose of Seeking a New Friend. And let's please start by following along as I read Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 10. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Verse 10 states, we are God's creation created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time. God prepared this. Before we accepted Jesus as our Lord, our commander, before we were born, God, Scripture tells us, God knew us. He knew who we would be. And He had prepared a work for us. Folks, if you ever have gone through life, moments of life, or maybe even now, and at whatever age you are, and you feel like you just have not fulfilled your purpose, it's very possible that it's because you haven't turned a switch on of the Holy Spirit's power to go out and purposely seek a new friend for the cause of Jesus Christ. But guess what? It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. God, in His omniscience, in His knowledge, in His ability to do great things through us at any point, it's never too late. So even if you haven't, or maybe you did when you were younger and you've kind of turned the switch off of the purpose of your life and you've coasted, turn it back on, because it's not too late. It is not too late. The saying, it's better never, or better late than never, stands very true in this. So I want you to remember, just like the example of Adam and Rachel, all we have to do is seek a new friend. Listen, everybody wants to have a friend. And I remember one of my favorite comedies is a Bill Murray comedy. It's called What About Bob? And I won't get into the details, but Bob's he's got every phobia you can think of. But he has one really cool philosophy of life. He is always looking for a new friend. And when somebody doesn't respond to his friendship, he said, I consider it like a busy signal when you call on the telephone. They're just not available right now. So I'll hang up until they're available. Now, folks, that's from the world, from a crazy man. But guess what? That's what it's about. It's to just understand that we're in this life and we aren't to settle with just the friends we've had, but it's take our friends. Let's go. If our friends are believers, let's join in and find a new friend. Find a new friend so we can fulfill the purpose of Christ. Hey, listen, I'm just going to say a side thing. I didn't even have this in my notes, but I'm going to say a side thing. There could be a day, for whatever reason, God chooses for you to be in a nursing home. Rather than fighting it and so forth, and I don't know, I'm just saying this just right here, right now, just hear me out. Rather than take it as, oh, this is the end and all that, maybe it's God putting you in a place where you can make a new friend and you'll have a captive audience. If we take life with that kind of attitude, folks, we're on the purpose. Our life is on purpose for God and not ourselves. So let's take a look in just a moment at the fact that seeking a new friend isn't a suggestion. If we are believers and we claim the hope of eternal life, which will not disappoint, then we've been commanded. If you look at Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 15, for time's sake, I'm going to go ahead. Then Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Folks, the saving is not our job. The going, the telling, that's our job. That's the purpose that God set up. He predestined for us to do. So is it any wonder that I sit there during the offering time and hear our brother Denny saying the same thing? And I promise you, Denny, have we talked since last Sunday? We have not had opportunity to talk since last Sunday. By email, text, nothing. Do you even email? I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. And I don't do much on Facebook, so I know it wasn't that. Tommy, you didn't tweet anything, right? No? Okay, so, folks, that was a Holy Spirit thing. That was a Holy Spirit thing. I think we should listen. I think we should listen because, you know what, the saving isn't our job, but the going and the telling is. We are to, yes, you don't have to be a pastor to preach and teach the gospel. You preach and teach it with your life. Francis de Assisi, he took one of his students with him. He said, let's go out all day today and preach the gospel. You know what they did? They walked through the town. They greeted everyone they could. They said, hi. They went through the whole time, but not one point did Francis de Assisi stand in the corner and start preaching. He just went out and met people. They went into stores and marketplaces, and they just talked with people. And at the end of the day, they came back, and his student said, I thought we were going to go and preach the gospel. He said, we did all day long. People saw us. They saw the love of Christ. They heard when we greeted them, when we were concerned for them, and they knew that we were of Christ. We were preaching with our lives. What he's really saying is we were out seeking new friends. We were looking for any opportunity to build a friendship with somebody. I think of Xiao Jun. What if her friends had never sought a friend? folks, she'd still be lost, very possibly. Now, God is great, and he knows how he can do things, but very possibly, she may not be heading to the mission field at this point in time. You see, Jesus gave us a great example in his ministry of what Adam and Rachel should do, what Kurt and Tommy and Denny and all of us should do in seeking new friends. J.K. Johnson wrote this: Christ met unbelievers where they were. He realized what many Christians today still don't seem to understand. Cultivators have to get out in the field. According to one count, the Gospels record 132 contacts that Jesus had with people. Six were in the temple or at church. Four in the synagogues. Another way of saying church. And 122 were out with the people in the mainstream of life. Being willing to meet people where they are is the key. Listen, I remember growing up, this illustration. You know, if you clean up somebody on the outside, they're still whoever they were and whatever they were. We're not going out trying to clean people up. That's God's work. We're going out to say, right where you're at, we're going to love on you. We're going to be your friend. To whatever extent they'll allow us. They don't have to be our best bosom buddy, but maybe there's a particular activity that you can enjoy together. Maybe even on a weekly basis, you gather some of your believing friends to bring them, just like Adam and Rachel did. They brought Xiao Jun into their community. And she got to know their community of friends, and she loved it. We have that example here. And Arnold, I hope you don't mind. I didn't ask permission for this, and I apologize, but Arnold is one of those. You all said, come join us. We want to be your friend in this community. And Arnold did, and he loved the community, and he wanted to truly be a part. And he realized the only way to be a part was to accept Jesus as his Lord, his commander of his life, savior of his eternity. And now he's a part. And he's part of this. And he has purpose now. And this is the purpose: finding a new friend. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to his disciples again, peace to you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you. It's that idea of get up and go. In John 15:16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Folks, hear this. We didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose us. And he said, I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That means it's eternal fruit. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You know, folks, we ask lots and lots of requests of God. We do. We ask all kinds of things. What of those things are we asking are actually part of his purpose? I think that's a big question we should be asking ourselves. See, Jesus wasn't just blowing air when he spoke the following. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, he said, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The idea that going out into this world and making new friends in order to be a witness, it's not a concept that only was a New Testament thing, only with the coming of Jesus. You see, Jesus is eternal. I'm going to challenge you. Read the Gospel of John, and you will find out that Jesus was before the beginning of time. Yes, Jesus is now, and Jesus will be forever. Jesus was there, and reading first chapter of John, you'll find out without Jesus, nothing was made. Nothing was created. Jesus was there at creation. So this concept is not a new concept. And in fact, we can read from an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration. and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, and there will be none after me. God is declaring his eternal presence. He's declaring his supremacy, and he is declaring that we are his witnesses, and that was before Jesus was born of men. Wow. This purpose of seeking a new friend, it shouldn't then just be born out of sheer obedience to a command. Just like Xiaojun, she found purpose for her life, and now not because of a command, but because of a want to, a desire to seek new friends, she believes God's sending her to a foreign field. For the same, it may not be a foreign field, but folks, our community is lost. If our community wasn't lost, we'd be full. We'd have people listening on speakers in the fellowship hall, and they'd be our annex would be full. Our parking lot, we'd have people out here, and New Hope would be busting at the seams, and Flat Run and Rhodesville and all, Antioch and all these other churches around here that preach the gospel. If our community was not lost, we wouldn't be able to hold everybody, folks. But they're lost. And it's our job. But not just because of that, but hopefully we want to. You meet that person in a store and think, if they don't know Jesus, they will spend an eternity in hell. God has blessed us so much. How can we hold back from telling people of his blessing? Psalm 66:16. Now this, again, Old Testament, but remember, the gospel is a timeless saying. People in the Old Testament were saved the same way. They believed in the coming Messiah. We believe in the Messiah who has come. And you have David here. This psalm talks about how great God is in his life. And then he says in verse 16, "Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell what he's done for me." He's gonna tell everybody. He's going to let them know. If you read other psalms that he's wrote, he's going to tell people from the rooftop. He's going to tell them in the hall. He's going to tell them in the street. He's going to tell people of the great things of God and proclaiming God with his life and his words. He couldn't help but to tell people about God. A young man enlisted and was sent to his regiment the first night. He was in the barracks with about 15 other young men who passed the time playing cards and gambling. Before retiring to bed, he fell on his knees and prayed, and they began to curse him and jeer at him and throw boots at him. So it went on the next night and the next, and finally the young man went and told the chaplain what had taken place and asked what he should do. "Well," said the chaplain, "you're not at home now, and the other men have just as much right to the barracks as you have. It makes them mad to hear you pray, and the Lord will hear you just as well if you say your prayers in bed and don't provoke them." For weeks after, the chaplain did not see the young man again. But one day he met him and asked, "By the way, did you take my advice?" "I did, for two or three nights." "Well, how did it work?" "Well," said the young man, "I felt like a whipped hound. And the third night, I got out of bed, knelt down, and prayed." "Well," asked the chaplain, "how did that work?" The young soldier answered, "We have a prayer meeting there now every night, and there have been, and three of them have been converted to faith in Christ, and we're praying for the rest." After telling this same story, D.L. Moody said, "Oh, friends, I'm so tired of weak Christianity. Let us be out and about for Christ. Let us give no uncertain sound. If the world wants to call us fools, let them do it. It is only a little while. The crowning day is coming. Thank God for the privilege we have of confessing Christ." Folks, what's our desire? Is our desire just to get a little more money so we can have that nicer vehicle or better TV, bigger house, whatever it might be, then folks, you're not about the purpose of God. If our purpose is anything but what God wants, now don't get me wrong, it's no problem. Have a brand new car. That's great. I'll praise God with you. Have a bigger house. I want to come visit you. Have a big TV. Let's watch the Super Bowl together. That's awesome. Use it to make a new friend. Car salesmen, they need Jesus. But you know what? We need to start understanding that it's our privilege. It's our privilege to witness the gospel of Jesus. Think of several of the disciples who earned their living by fishing. And it was no privilege for them to have to fish for their food. But then Jesus filled their life with purpose. And he taught them that they could have the privilege of fishing for people. And it became a passion within their soul. So much so that, yes, they faced the mocking, the boot throwing, and everything else, even to the point of somebody killing them. Because they realized that everything else is nothing, it's worthless. But God's purpose is all in all. So we read then Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus called them, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers for people." We all get to join that fishing expedition, you know that? Every one of us. If we've been saved, if we are true believers, born-again believers, then we all have been called by Jesus to be on that fishing expedition. This is not an expedition as a deckhand. This is an expedition appointed by Almighty Creator Father God. And listen to what he says our role is in this fishing expedition. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "We are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God." We have the best job in the world, folks. We're God's ambassadors. This is desire and motivation for us to seek a new friend, all wrapped up in one package. Our God-given purpose of seeking a new friend is not just because we're commanded or want to, but folks, there is a true urgency. There's a true urgency for us to seek a new friend. I have seen too much about the history of Zora Baptist Church to think that God just flippantly put you here and me here together as one body. Just in recent history, the past 12, 15 years, and some of you who have been here that time period, you know God has been doing a work, and it's not been fun, some of it. Some of it's been pretty painful. But folks, he's done it for a reason, for his purpose, so that we would get up and go about his purpose. Folks, the time is now. The time is now. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching with you, because God's saying the same to me. Kurt, lead. And folks, I just want you to know, God has brought two folks, and I'm asking you to pray for them. Derek and Dom, they're the two coaches that I'll be coaching with at Spotsy High, and I believe that God's bringing them into my life to be my new friends, so that I can share and witness the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Be praying for their souls. And I'm excited about that. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The problem is that so many Christians take this as, well, I'm going to pray for someone else to go out into the harvest. No! Start praying for yourself, and then God will give you a partner to make a new friend with. That's what it's about. There are so many that we pass every day. So many who are facing an eternity without God. We may not be able to tell them all. We may not be able to tell them all, folks. But we can at least seek to have one new friend and then tell them. The bottom line is this. Scripture warns us over and over that the end is coming. And friends, it's nearer today than ever. It's time. And remember, it's not too late for each of us to obey the command, gain the desire, and urgently seek a new friend. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:14, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Our challenge for this week, for each one of us, is to actively seek the new friend God wants for us to impact. He wants us to impact this person with the power of His love through the Holy Spirit. And may we be among the ones used by God to proclaim His good news. Let's pray. Holy God, You're amazing. What You did for us is incomprehensible. Sometimes we just flippantly say, yes, God sent His Son Jesus. God, I have sons. And honestly, I don't know that I could sacrifice any one of my sons for even my best buddy. And You sacrificed Your Son for Your enemies, us, sinners, so that we could be reconciled before You and have a relationship with You. And then, unbelievable forgiveness to the point that upon our rebirth in Christ, we are children of God. How can we not go and be about Your purpose? Forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive this body for the points that we have not been about Your purpose. But God, it's not too late. You are such a compassionate, long-suffering God that no matter how old we are, no matter what stage in life we are, it is not too late to start now. And the amazing thing is that when we're about Your purpose, You give us perks. You give us blessings that are beyond comprehension. And so, Lord, I pray that we will become a body that is just completely engrossed in Your purpose and finding a new friend. It's in the name of our Savior Jesus, for Your honor, for Your glory, for gratitude, for love that I pray. Amen.